The lesson today is called Being Taught of God. And of course, we go through life learning things. And the most important thing we can do is learn about God and what He wants from us. And it's a lifelong endeavor, something we have to do all the time. It's not like, okay, you know, when you get a piece of furniture at Walmart, you have to put it together, right? So you look at the instructions, you follow the instructions, okay, you have your furniture and that's it. You don't have to worry about putting it together again. But when it comes to serving God, it is a lifelong effort, an effort we have to put forth from this point forward. And so the best thing to do is be taught the right things. So let's look at this. See, the word teach implies several things. One of those is a desire to cause to learn knowledge or a skill or just simple wisdom. And this is something we all understand. Because when children are born, they're idiots. They don't know a thing. All they know is about what they want, and that's either to get changed or to get fed. And that's all they know. So they have to start learning things. And of course, as parents, it's our job to teach them. Now, we can teach them various things, of course, how to turn on the computer, how to get to this app so you can play your game or something. No, that's not really what we're talking about. We basically teach them life skills, how to get along, how to survive. You know, it's the things that are good for them, we try and teach them. And so, and then, of course, when someone decides I want to go into a field or a career, they got to learn the skills, how to do those things. And so the training is necessary to do that. And sometimes just a little good old common sense goes a long way. So we learn when someone teaches us, or we should learn. Let's put it that way. I know sometimes it seems like when teachers get in the classroom, they start talking, there's some sitting around there not trying to learn anything. They're playing on their phones or they're doing something else. But when someone's trying to teach, we should be trying to learn. And we should go through life always trying to learn things. And it's good. It keeps our minds active as we do this. And we also learn from hands-on experience. I mean, the lessons we learn from life, that's what they call the school of hard knocks. Yeah, what we learn in life's lessons is very valuable to us. We learn things that's not found in a textbook anywhere. I mean, the textbook can give us certain skills. The textbook can teach us certain ways of behavior. But when it comes down to it, textbook does not tell us how to get along with each other. Doesn't tell us that some people are going to disappoint you, and some people are going to mistreat you, and things like that. So we do need to learn from hands-on experience. And of course, on-the-job training is good as long as you have good guidance. I know in some companies I've worked for, they say, oh, well, it's on-the-job training, so there's your job, go do it. Without any instruction or anything like that, you're just supposed to fill that position. And they didn't train. And so it's very frustrating when that happens. And so we learn from hands-on experience. And there's many things that we need to be taught. Over and over we need to be taught. But really, when you get down to it, the most important thing that we need to be taught is the most important lesson that we need to learn. And that is the lessons about God. I mean, all this other stuff is going to perish. As the scripture says, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life are all going to perish. But we can be taught by God. So we're going to look at that. We need to be taught the law of God. And it's very important to learn the law. You know, Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so when people do not know God's law, they're not going to keep God's law. So they need to be taught God's law. And so it's very important. And then, of course, we have the law of society. whatever is on the books. Some we may agree with some of them, we may not agree with them, but they're still the law, and we should do our best to abide by those up to the point where it conflicts with God's laws. Then we have to take a stand. But anyway, that's what we need to be taught, and we should teach our children the law of God, the law of society. We should teach them laws of physics. In other words, don't climb in that big old palm tree out there, then jump off thinking it's no big deal. I mean, that's a long way down there, and physics will say you're going to hurt yourself if you do that. And so we learn about physics, just drop something on their foot. They learn about physics very quickly. And so, yes, the laws of physics is something we have to teach our children. And the laws associated with growth. Their bodies change, and they go through processes in their bodies that they don't understand. We got to help them along. So, yes, these are some laws that we have to know. And then, of course, there's unwritten laws of etiquette. I mean, just be nice to somebody. I mean, somebody did write a book many, many years ago about etiquette. I think it was Emily Post. Yeah, she wrote the book on etiquette. And, of course, you try and pick that up, it'd be like reading a comic book or something. Because people don't do that anymore. It's not proper to do such things. And so holding the door open for somebody, that's nice courtesy. And some people just think of it nothing more than courtesy, and they don't really attribute it to etiquette. But yeah, there's unwritten laws about how to treat others. Treat them kindly. And then how to get along with others. Yeah, some people are hard to get along with, and we've talked about that many times. They're hard to get along with, but we've got to manage somehow. And so things like that. These are all things we need to learn, all these laws, because if we don't do it, we'll be breaking the law. You know, sin is transgression of the law. That's what it says. And it doesn't matter if it's God's law, man's law, or any of these other laws. It's really wrong. And since we're supposed to take care of our bodies, we don't need to be subjecting ourselves to the dangers of physics or anything like that. Now, teaching God's laws. This is very important. And where do we learn God's laws? Well, we start off in the home. We should be teaching our children as they grow about God's laws. I mean, there are some things about God's laws that are so very important. And it starts with the education we give our children. I mean, they can get out there and they can blurt out a bad word. Oh, we don't say that word. No, that's not a good word to say. And you start off gently, but if they don't stop doing it, then guess what? You're going to have to reinforce it a little bit more sternly, where they realize, if I say this, I'm liable to get a spanking, or I'm liable to get my mouth washed out with soap or something else that's unpleasant. So yes, we need to teach God's laws. And so there is a reason that God gave us his laws. Now, some people might think that these laws are just a form of punishment. Well, you're not letting me have any fun. I can't have any fun following these laws. And they think it's a form of punishment. But it's also for our good, as we read there in the scripture. It's for our good. The laws that God gives us is for our benefit. And of course, we probably won't realize that until we realize the blessings that God has actually given to us. So the law guides us towards being acceptable by God. And there are several things we need to do in order to be acceptable of God. And so God began his teaching in the garden with the very first commandments. And he told Adam and Eve, of every tree of the garden you can eat, but this one tree thou shalt not eat. And so he told them, he put them in that garden. It was a Garden of Eden. And of course that garden has always symbolized beauty. It has always symbolized peace and calm. And no problems, no strife, no stress, no problems at all. And then they had to go and blow it and start doing things that they weren't supposed to do. And so we're paying the price for that. All of us, we have to. always as we go along. In Exodus 4:15, God speaking to Moses, "So you are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And as for me, I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you both what you must do." Here, the scene here is the burning bush. And Moses has been trying to give out his excuses. "Well, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I don't speak very well." And so God had a retort on each of these. He said, "Well, I'll give you Aaron to speak for you." "Well, he won't know what to say." God says, "I'll put my word in his mouth." And that's what he's going to do. And so as they spoke, both Moses and Aaron, they were speaking the words of God. And of course, coincidentally, Jesus said the same thing. That he said the same thing about the Christ. "I will put my words in his mouth." And so Jesus spoke the words of God. And Jesus said, "I didn't speak anything of my own initiative, but I only spoke that which the Father told me to say." In Exodus 24:12, "Now the Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me to the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandments that I have written so that you may teach them.'" Here's the reason God gave us the laws, so that you may teach them. So now why be taught? As we said, to learn things. So we're supposed to learn from God's commandments. See Deuteronomy 4:14. "Moreover, at the same time, the Lord commanded me to teach you statutes and ordinances for you to keep in the land which you are about to enter and possess." So the children of Israel in Deuteronomy, they're parked right across on the east side of the Jordan River, ready to go take possession of the land. And Moses is about to depart from them for good. And so they're going to go enter this land. But Moses gives them a final set of instructions before you go. Remember this: you got to do these laws. You got to keep these laws. You got to live these laws. You got to treat these laws as sacred. And if you do, it'll be good for you. If you forget these laws and stop doing them, it's not going to be very pleasant. And of course, those words were very true. See, in chapter 5, verse 31, "But as for you, stand here by me, that I may speak to you all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I gave them to possess." So once again, God telling Moses, "You stand here, you tell them exactly what I'm going to tell you to say." And that's what we're supposed to do. You know, 1 Peter 4:11, "If anyone speak, let him speak as it were the oracles of God." That's what he told Moses to. "Moses, you tell these people what I want them to know." And then, of course, when you go to the book of Jeremiah, we see several times where God's speaking to Jeremiah alone. "Okay, here's what I want you to tell the people. Thus saith the Lord," and then so forth. Then in the next chapter, Jeremiah goes to the gates, goes to the courts, and he speaks to the people and says, "Thus says the Lord," and it's practically a repeat of what God said. He didn't add anything to it. He didn't put any colorful language in it or anything that might enhance the meaning or anything. He spoke exactly, "Thus saith the Lord." And there's always emphasis in that phrase when you look, whether it was Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Daniel. Whenever you see the word, "Thus saith the Lord," there's some important things there. And we have to remember that. And then from our scripture reading, Deuteronomy 6:1-2, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all the statutes and his commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged." So there's a blessing promised here. If you will serve me properly the way I tell you, you're going to have a long life. You're going to have a prosperous life. You're going to have a very wealthy life. It's going to be wonderful. If, that great big word there, if, is always there. And so we learn these things. And so God has commanded me, Moses, to teach you. So teaching is important. And it's very important. In Job 6:24, Job had questions about why he was made to suffer like he did. And so he's talking to God, "Teach me and I will be silent, and show me how I have erred." Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had that same attitude? If we had the idea, "God, if you'll teach me, I won't say anything else. Just show me where I've been wrong and I will fix the problem." I mean, wouldn't that be nice, so easy, if everybody had that attitude where God shows people the error of their way and they have the attitude, "I will fix it. I will stop doing it." I mean, think about that. Job 33:33, God speaking to him, "If not, listen to me. Keep silent and I will teach you wisdom." I mean, this is what Job was told. If you'll keep silent and listen. I mean, we have to listen in order to learn. You know, Larry King, the radio host for many years, he said, "I never learned anything while I was doing the talking." And when you think about it, you probably haven't either. You probably never learned anything while you were doing the talking. But when someone else was talking, you were learning something. You were formulating in your mind. Maybe it was just you're formulating a response, but somehow you're learning something when you are listening. And that's what we should do. And God says, "I'll teach you wisdom." In Job 34:32, Job once again responds, "Teach thou me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. If I have sinned, I will stop the sin." Now, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to listen to his laws and learn what his laws are so that we do not sin. In Psalm 25:4-5, says, "Make me know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all the day." I mean, we're going to read several passages now where the writer is saying, "Teach me your ways, Lord." And the fact that it's written and recorded quite a few times ought to tell us that the Lord's words are important. And so, Psalm 27:11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes." We have enemies all around us, and they're trying to cause us harm. So if we'll do what God wants us to do, God's going to protect us. Psalm 34:11, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Something we as Christians can do is to teach others to respect God. That's what it means. The fear of the Lord is reverential respect. And so we can teach others to respect God. And when you respect God, you're going to listen to God. When you respect God, you're going to obey God. And so that's what we need to do. And we as Christians have that obligation to teach others the same thing. In Psalm 86:11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." So once again, walking in the truth. What is truth? God's word is the truth. And of course, we need to put it into our heart to fear his name, to fear or reverentially respect the name of God, not to take it in vain. In Psalm 119:12, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." We continue reading in Psalm 119:26, "I have told of my ways and thou hast answered me. Teach me thy statutes." In other words, yeah, I do my own thing, God, but if you'll teach me your ways, the implication, the inference here is I will do what you tell me to do. So Psalm 119:33 says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall observe it to the end." How long? Till the end of our life. That's how long we're supposed to keep his statutes, his laws. until the end. That's what Jesus said. Be faithful until the end. And then the angel in Revelation 2:10, be faithful until death. That's how long we need to observe his commandments and his statutes. Psalm 119, verse 64, the earth is full of thy loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. I mean, these are the things of God, the commands of God. In verse 66, teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in thy commandments. Yes, we need discernment to be able to sit down and play in our mind. Do I do it? Do I not do it? Does God consider it right or wrong? That's where we draw the line. Okay, if God considers it right, go ahead and do it. If God considers it wrong, don't do it. I mean, that's what discernment is all about, making good, sound judgment, and of course, the knowledge of God. And that's what we need. We need to have the knowledge of God. Paul prayed to the Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 9, I pray that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. I mean, so the more we learn about God and what his desire is for us, his will is for us, the better that we're going to be and the better we're going to fare, not only in this life, but the one to come. In verse 68, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. That's right. In verse 102, I have not turned aside from thine ordinances, for thou thyself hast taught me. To be able to say, I have been taught by God, I mean, that's so very important for us. And so if we have studied God's word, if we have learned God's word, we can honestly say, I have been taught by God. Yes, we might need teachers to guide us and to lead us in that way, but it's still up to us to learn. I mean, just because a preacher goes up there and gives a sermon doesn't mean anybody's going to take anything from it. Doesn't mean anybody's going to change their ways or start living their life any differently. But if you'll take these words and examine them in light of Scripture, and if they're true words, apply them. That's what our hope is. That's what we want people to do. In verse 108, it says, Oh, accept the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thine ordinances. See, in Psalm 119, God uses many different words to talk about the same thing. He talks about commandments. He talks about statutes. He talks about ordinances. He talks about precept. He talks about righteousness. He talks about law. He talks about will. He talks about the word. It's all referring to the same thing. The word of God, the will of God, the laws of God. So he uses all those different words to describe the same thing. In verse 124, deal with thy servant according to thy loving kindness and teach me thy statutes. And so, verse 135, make thy face shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. I mean, verse 171, let my lips utter praise, for thou dost teach me thy statutes. I mean, we need to learn these things, statutes, laws. They're no different from commandments. God is teaching us. God has taught us. What are we doing about it? See, in Psalm 143, 10, 11, it says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Let thy good spirit lead me on level ground. For the sake of thy name, O Lord, revive me. In thy righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. I mean, notice these phrases, just, we've already said them all, just reworded it in different ways. Doing his will, that's teach me your laws, teach me your ordinances, your statutes, your testimonies, your precepts. I mean, it's all the same thing. Why? Because he is God and I am not. And his spirit can lead us on level ground. He promises to give us a level path. You know, a lot of people like the rocky path, don't they? They got boulders and they got rocks in the way. They got pitfalls. They got potholes. They got all sorts of problems in there. But God promised through Isaiah that the way to salvation is going to be smooth. And he will do that for us. If we'll get our head on right and do what God tells us to do, then it's going to be a smooth journey. I mean, yeah, we may still have pitfalls along the way, but we're going to be able to handle them, unlike people who don't know how to handle problems. See, we can learn what it takes to please God by following His commands. And the doctrines and precepts of men will lead to destruction. When Jesus talked about this in Matthew 15, verses 7 through 11, He was talking about that. He's talking about teaching the doctrines and precepts of men. He says, "But in vain do they worship me." In other words, their worship is vanity. So anytime anyone who teaches the doctrines of men, I mean, it's vanity. It's worthless. It means nothing. So we learn by instruction and by watching examples. And that's what we do. And we are supposed to set examples. See, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, Paul says, "And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul says he gave them an example to follow. He said the same thing to the Thessalonians. "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God," and he puts in this, "just as you actually are doing, that you may excel still more." See, walking and pleasing God, that is the goal we should be having, but yet Paul says, but give it a little bit extra. We need to give a little bit extra. You know, some people just want to do the bare minimum, and they think that that's okay, but yet what you find out is that when those who go the extra and do a little bit more, they seem to be appreciated a lot more. See, God teaches us in many ways, and there's no doubt about that. He teaches us many ways and through different people, and yes, even the bad people we can learn things from. We can learn things from Satan, and there's several positive things that Satan has that we need. Satan knows his scriptures, I'll tell you that much. He knows that much, and Satan cares about your soul. He wants your soul. And so there's some things we can learn from all sorts of people, all sorts of events. We can look at politics. We can look at the current events in the news. And we can learn something that this world is not our home. It's not some place we want to stay in, really, when you think about it. See, our job is to learn God's ways and apply His teaching to our lives. And we're not going to do that if we don't learn His ways. And how are we going to learn that? Well, we learn the truth from being taught the truth by someone or by reading the truth, which we have the ability to do. Now, they didn't talk about reading too much in the Old Testament days because very few people knew how to read. But nowadays, practically everybody knows how to read. But, we need to learn and apply His teaching to our lives. And so we do not need to waste effort in learning the doctrines and precepts of men and false teachers, because that will not produce salvation. It won't produce salvation for anybody. And anybody who stays in one of those denominations, they're not going to be saved. They need to learn the truth and practice the truth. And the only way to do that is let God teach you. That's what you're supposed to do. Let God teach you, and that happens by learning His Word. Learning the Word of God is so important. And so consider those thoughts that you can be taught of God. And yes, we have others that will help us learn these things, but we have to be taught, and we have to apply the things that we're taught. It doesn't do any good to learn this stuff if you don't do it. You know, when people get ready to drive, they give this driver's handbook. They can read, they can learn that whole driver's handbook, but also then all of a sudden they get out and they start speeding down the street and they wonder why the policeman stops them to give them a ticket. "What are you doing this for? Why are you punishing me? You broke the law." And they start looking through the handbook. It didn't say anything about that. Yeah. Things we have to learn. It's amazing, isn't it? But let's learn about serving God and do our best for Him. All right. We're going to sing our invitation song now. If anyone does need to respond to that, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.